We're doing a Siyama Masechta is Gittin. But, of course, the purpose of a Masechta, of making a Siyam, is again to be the Hadron Aloch, is to say something or to notice something when you start the second time or the third time. Every time you learn the same thing, you see it with new eyes every time you learn it, especially if you learn it after other Masechtas in between. So what I wanted to highlight here, even though the Gemara ends on Daf Tzadik, what hit me between the eyes was on Pei Gimel, which sort of bothered me very much, and it has to do with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. What happened with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus over here in the Gemara over here, there's a machlokas in the Gemara about writing a Tanai and a Get. And when you write a Tanai and a Get, first of all, there were five that they were. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim, as we learn in Pirkei Avos. And the group that was always together, literally, they traveled together. They had a lot of historically. They traveled to Rome, but every time there was a Gzeira, it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, it was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Tarfon. He was very old already. But nevertheless, there were all these Rabbonim, Yossi Aglili, and they traveled together. They were a group of people, and they ran the show. In reality, the leader of the whole group, the greatest mind of all of them, whom they bowed to his judgment all the time, was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, was the greatest, as we learn in Pirkei Avos, is Bar Sidma, you know, Sheinam Amitipa. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. So what happened over here was, the Mishnah beforehand starts off and says, if we have a Tanai and a Get, so if somebody says, you know, Mugureshes, Chutz, Miploni, or Al Tanai, that he makes the Tanai that, you know, just as long as you don't, you could have your Get as long as you don't marry so-and-so. And the problem is, we want to know if that is, because the Torah says, V'nosan sefer krisus, v'nosan biyada, v'chosav lo sefer krisus, v'nosan biyada. You have to have a sefer krisus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari was one of them. It's funny, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari lived the shortest from all of these people. He died very young, actually. I was looking up the chronology of all these things, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari died, he must have been not more than 50 years old. If he was 18, as the story says in the Haggadah, you know, we don't know for sure, but that's what it would come out to be, because, you know, he was died pretty early. But the fact remains, maybe being the Nasi under those circumstances just destroyed him mentally. But the idea was, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari says very simply, either it's a Sefer Krisus or it's not a Sefer Krisus. I know you can give me all the discussions you want. And they each one of the Rabbi Yeshua starts to say, what's wrong with this? Rabbi Akiva says, what's wrong with the Get? You know, if you're putting yourself, if for instance, if somebody marries, if a woman marries a man who she, the husband says, you could marry anybody but Reuven. And then she goes ahead and marries Reuven's brother. And she said, and she marries Reuven's brother Shimon. And Shimon is now her husband, so she didn't do anything wrong. But then Shimon died, and they didn't have children. So now she falls to Yibam, to Reuven. So obviously, if that's the case, then it can't be a good get. That was Rabbi Akiva's point of view. And they all have similar discussions of where the thought process could go wrong if you make a Tanai and a get. Doesn't work, because it has to be a Sefer Krisus. And each one starts to give his opinion why. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya all of a sudden makes a statement, and on Pei Gimel, and he says, you know, I don't like to hear all of this, because there's a very simple problem over here. There's Ein Meshivin Eswari Liachamisa. He comes to the defense of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and says, Ein Meshivin Eswari Liachamisa, you can't do such a terrible thing, it doesn't work. I mean, he's not here to defend himself. He died. And now that he's gone, Amish even SRE, he's not here to defend himself. And therefore, I don't want to hear anything. But the fact is, we don't paskin like him. But nevertheless, because he said these Tanai and a Get, as long as it's a rational Tanai, it's not someone like you, like the Gemara postulates later and says, where would they really agree if a woman says, actually, if a man says to his wife, I'm going to give you a Get on the basis that you can't sleep with your own father? Well, obviously, You know, that's not going to happen because, but the Gemara ends up to say it's not so much that she's not willing to do it. Let's say she's willing to do it, but she's not in control of the situation because the father also has to be willing on the other end to do it. But nevertheless, that's where it doesn't work. But the fact is, over here, we know all these stories that we've heard from Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus when we had the story beforehand that in Bava Metzia, when they have the story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, as there's various pronunciations, but the Tanur Achnai. And in that story, it's a very interesting story because here Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says, Amishivan SRE comes to the defense and says, you can't say anything bad, he's not here to defend himself. In the story over there, when everybody is going ahead and starting to tell people, you know, is the oven good or is the oven not good, it's a very interesting story because the reality is that what was the problem with the oven? They made an oven a special way, and it was like a brand name. Like you said, it was a Maytag, it was an oven Achnai. And it was a type of oven that could have been, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, was Tahar. And according to the Chachamim, it seemingly, from the Gemara, I say seemingly because we'll get to it. And it was Tameh at that point in time. And they went ahead and Rabbi Elazar said, the halacha is like me. And if so, he invoked all of these miracles. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come to his rescue, and it says a baskel came out from the Shemayim at the end of all these things. Let the road change, let this tree, let this carob tree be uprooted from the ground. That's what you have in the on the first page over there. Let the carob tree come out from the ground and move over here. And he said, just like you were uprooting the Torah, he was talking to the Chachamim. The Marsha goes into a very lengthy discussion and starts to explain that, you know, the way he explains it, it's all symbolism. And that way, and it's what got me, the reason I mentioned the Marsha when I saw it, is when Amas Samayim, when it says the water changed direction, it flowed against the stream, because what you said on Friday was what Rabbi Levine mentioned on Friday about going against the stream, flowing, you know, opposite that you have to be. And the Marsha mentions that point of view, basically. I thought it was very interesting when I saw it, because it's when you mentioned it, it triggered, so I ran to the Marsha. I thought I remembered something like that, and he says when they let the water flow in the opposite direction, crooked and things like that. So it says, he says, you're just flowing upstream, you're doing the other way, I'm just doing things, God made the world and the water flows, it's from a high point down to a low point, and you're going against the stream, and they just turn it around and tell him just the opposite. You're trying to push the envelope over here and changing it around. So the Gemara ends up to say a very interesting thing, and it says that unfortunately that the reason all these things come out, including the baskol or whatever, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says, I tell you on all these things, that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. It's a tremendous thing. But who is the one that's his chief enemy, his chief antagonist over here, is Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, who says, Eim Meshivan Eswari, La'achamisa, it's Rabbi Shua ben Chananya who was kept saying, Eim Mashgichim Babaskol. The end of the Gemara says over there, Eim Mashgichim Babaskol. We don't listen to a baskol because HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem Varetz Nasan Levnei Adam. Finished. And he's the one who keeps answering. He's the one who's the spokesperson, as he was. He was in that generation the Rosh HaMadabim Rabbi Yeshua. When they went to Rome, he was the spokesperson for all of them at that time. They all went, but he was the one who, whatever they had to say, Rabbi Yeshua was the one who expressed his opinion. I mean, he spoke for everybody, for Klal Yisrael. And now, he's the one who's saying, Emesh Gichem Babasko. And so a lot of Mefarshim get into a problem over here because they bring down, there's so many different times in the Gemara that we have different thought processes of baskols. We have baskol that we learned is b'chol yom baskol yotzos v'yomeres abarim yom kodem yitzira savlad baskol yotzos v'yomeres bas ploni leploni. There's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel over there. Rav says bas ploni leploni. Shmuel says doesn't say the word b'chol yom v'yom, which comes and says bas kol yotzos v'yomer bas ploni l'ploni v'sodel ploni and sodel l'ploni, this field and this field. This comes into play also in the pshat also, though I found it very interesting last night when I saw that it sort of fit in with something that we're going to read. But nevertheless, it goes into that thought process when he says he seems to be the antagonist on one end, and then he comes to the defense. What I thought was very interesting when I was just looking through one of Beryl Wine's books, and he shows a picture of the Matseva of Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus, page 3, I think it is. And what is the pasuk over there? It brings out from pasuk Avos. He covers, you know, covers chavercha, covers alach mishalach, right? I thought it was a very interesting thing. And what I was thinking of, did they write it as a message to him that he didn't? Or did he want that on his matseva as a message to his antagonist, Rabbi Yeshua, and the other thing? So the thought crossed my mind, who wrote that, so to speak? Whose idea was it to write that on the matseva? Was it his tzava that he wrote that on the matseva? Or was it the tzava of, was it the people that he left behind, the survivors or his family members, whatever it is, who wrote that on the matseva? And I thought that was, it's from Rabbi Wine's book over there. He shows a picture of his matseva. And I thought it was really very interesting. But what is, so the Gemara goes to say, Rabbi Yeshua, his main objective here, his main point is, it says, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. I'm trying to make it short over here, so I'm not reading in everything except a couple of things that we will. Achrei Rabim Lahatos. What is Achrei Rabim Lahatos? You have, and it doesn't mean if I'm this, you know, me and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein have an argument and I get a couple of my sons that we out, you know, we 3-4-1, doesn't work that way. We're talking about people on the same level that are having an argument, that Tanoim, or one Tana argues with another. Fine, you have Shammai and Hillel have an argument, which the Gemara brings, you have in Yevamis and in Erevin, they're mentioning each one. Also, in terms of other Machlok, according to Beis Hillel, it says over there, Baskol came out and said halacha to Beis Hillel, and over there they were mashgiach b'baskol. They listened to the Baskol. He doesn't say a mashgiach b'baskol, but the Mefarshim over there want to know why taka. But over there, one of the quickest answers is that the reality was that the halacha would have been like Beis Hillel anyhow, because he had numbered Beis Shammai. So it was just. So the question is, and then why did they even give him any latitude over here and say that we listen to the Baskol? Because over there, they actually looked, they went, ooh. Because the Havamina was that since Shammai was such a, he was so charifistic, he was so sharp about everything, that they stood up and took notice of something that he said, really, rather than maybe they were going to listen. As it turned out, of course, the numbers of Beis Hillel certainly outweighed. But that leaves open the question, and Tosfos discusses it too. They all have problems, Tosfos here, Tosfos in Yevamis, and they have various problems with the same thought process. I mean, so why are we talking about it? And they give the Teretz, it's all very dark, it leaves too much. But one of the things I heard from one of my Rebbes many years ago was a very interesting thought process. So it's like I once mentioned to you about the end of Koheles, you know, why we repeat the pasuk. I mean, Shlomo HaMelech didn't know that, or that we don't end in a good thing over here. Didn't Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus know that Yochid v'Rab Malacha k'Rab Ma'achar Rab Lahatos? Rabbi Yeshua starts to invoke a pasuk in the Chumash. What, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus never opened up the Chumash? He didn't know Achar Rab Lahatos? Of course he knew Achar Rab Lahatos. But his taina was, he says, that what did the Chachamim do when the argument came to a head? And he didn't want to back down. When he didn't want to back down, they went ahead and they said, the halacha is like us. And then the aftermath was, they went around and smashed all his ovens. And they smashed all the ovens that he said were tar. They smashed it. They said, not only is it tar, but they went like, it's like a house-to-house search. You have an Tana Rachnai. You have a Tana Rachnai. And they went and they went into the house and they smashed it. It's an unbelievable thought process. He says, heavy mesunim badin. I mean, you have to take a more calmer approach, that take a calmer approach. And if you want to be a Rebbe on a certain level, if you want to be Mashpia on Klal Yisrael, a Rebbe does not go around smashing ovens. if you're a Rav, and therefore, you know what? I understand. Achri Rav Lahatos. But the vote now is, instead of 4-1 against me, you don't qualify as a Tana, you don't qualify as a rabbi when you go around smashing ovens. You don't qualify as a rabbi. So it's left. I'm one. I got no opposition here because you four don't count for anything. So it's 1-0 in my favor. I agree. Akram Lahados. The vote is 1-0. It's a consensus opinion. You don't have a vote. I have a vote. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. But of course, it leaves open too many problems over here. What I thought, what I read over here was a very interesting approach to this over here, and it was in the Anaf Yosef. And in the Anaf Yosef over here, it's on Nuntes, but it's on one of your pages over there in the, on the handouts. So I just want to read it over there. But it says, Yotzabatsko viomer malochem eitzel rabbi lozo sheholcha shalocha kamoso b'chol mokom. You know, what happened with the Baskol that said it? So we have, I said, we read, we have other bas kols that we go through all the things about, you know, bas ploni laploni, and you have another bas kol that was shuvavonim shovavim chutz meyacha. I mention only the bas kols that come into play with what I have to say. And with the story with Rav Meir and Elisha ben Avuya, who was in his day, actually you still have him quoted in, even though he's called Acher, but in Pirkei Avos, you do mention his name, and there's one Mishnah that actually quotes Elisha ben Avuya, says, makes a comment about something, and they actually use his name. And then, of course, there's a whole, all the Mefarshim talk about why they actually mentioned his name, because they don't want to, he was such a on such a great level that they realize they can't just obliterate him from all our writings, because as we had in various other times, when you have other things with the stories of Rav Meir, with Yesh Omrim and the Acherim Omru, is, you know, Mihem Asher Anu Shosim, you know, Mihem Anu Shosim, and, you know, we don't learn anything. I want to hear the names. I need to know. When you have, I always, when somebody tells me something and I don't like what I hear or something like that, I say, like the Rebbe always said, who said it? If you don't know who said it, people, I get a lot of things in the mail. And when I read something in the mail, and I want to see all the time somebody quote something, and if it's connected, I told her, like, you know, it can't be. Who said it? Who said it? I want to know. Did he write his name and sign it, or are you just quoting from me? If it's something that I don't know who said it, I don't want to hear it. I want to know who I have to deal with. If it's something that is repeated to me, I want to know who said it. So now you have this the problem with the baskol over here, and he says, "Malochem etzel Rabbi Lozer shalocha kamoso b'chol makom." Omad Rabbi Yeshua al Raglov, and he says, "Ein anu mashgichim b'baskol." And he says, "We don't listen to a baskol. We're not concerned. The baskol has been a shemaim lo b'shemaimi. Is koch hayecha v'omar nitzchuni b'ni?" They saw, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was laughing, and he said to Eliyahu HaNavi, came to him and said, why are you laughing? He says, Gemara says over there, I'm laughing because, as we mentioned last week, that, you know, he gave me a good answer. He's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya gave me a good answer when he said, you know, HaShemayim, HaShemayim, L'Hashem, or you stay out of the fray. It's not your business already. It's after Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah, we have the authority. You no longer, you rid yourself of the authority of the Torah. It's lo b'shamayim, and now we get to make the decisions, and we have to live with it, and you have to live with what we say. We're not interested in the baskol. So, is hamayim razeh tamua shebiyos shenase b'shvil Rabbi Elazar? The baskol that came out, it's a major problem that came out on the, you know, on the side of Rabbi Elazar. Kol shekose b'maimer achi yotza baskol. What happened? Is Hoya Royu Shehiya Halacha Kamoso. If the baskol came out, the reality is we should have paskin like him. I mean, if a baskol came out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the statement and says Halacha Kamoso, what do you mean? Where did the temerity to say, maybe it's time for you to rethink what you're saying? Maybe what Rabbi Elazar was saying to them in the Gemaras and the Mefarshim that say over there, when it's discussing all the miracles there, what he's saying is, the Marsha, it's one of the points of the Marsha, that Rabbi Elazar is telling them, I understand that it's Yochid V'Rab Malacha K'Rabim, that Achrei Rab Lahatos. The problem becomes is, when you get a baskol, maybe it's time you rethought what your svara is. Maybe you have a right to your opinion. But now then, when you're faced with God coming out and saying to you that I'm right, maybe it's time that you said, you know what? Forget about your own pride, that this is what you thought, and you don't want to appear to be backing down like an umpire and making a decision and getting second-guessed. You don't do it. So you want to be a Rav, you want to be called a Tana. Maybe you should rethink what you said. That's what the Marsha is saying. Maybe it's time you rethought and said, you know what, let me go back and look at it again. And maybe, Taka, you're right. I mean, after all, it's God that's saying. When I go to a shir on Sunday morning, and a lot of times Rabbi Pearl goes ahead and says, you know, they ask him a shayla, and he makes a whole shir on it, decides it's a hot topic, and he's going to go and give he gives his opinion and gives his position paper and all the things, and then all of a sudden he comes back a week later and he says, I've been told that, you know, Rav Moshe says, he got his smicha from Rav Moshe, and he says, Rav Moshe says so and so against me, and he says, I know this is the way I feel, but then, like somebody said to me, he called up Rav David and had a discussion with him, and it's happened a few times already, and he says, I begin to think then, who am I to argue with Rav Moshe? That I feel this way, but the reality is, if he felt this way, and even though a Meshivan Esarili Achamisa, but since he knows more than me, maybe I don't know everything as clearly as he did. So it's time that you rethought your position over here and rethink it. Of course, what they answer him is, what Rabbi Yeshua was saying was, maybe it's time you rethought you and back down. But that's what his taina was to them with all these miracles. But since there's a baskel, She'ein nasim devar, it's very small print, Hayuroyu she'ti alocha kamoso, v'kivin she'ein alocha kamoso, lomo naseh, what does the Gemara say over there? That the baskol, the tainan, the Gemara over there, that the reality was God just wanted him to be able to save face. You know, I didn't really mean it that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkan is, but, you know, he's one of my favorites, and I feel for him. He's making a stand over here, and for his kavod, I'm going to say the halacha is like him. And I know you're not going to paskin like that, but so he says. The reality is over here. She'ein asin devarim ke'elu, she'ein hepech hateva, ela b'mishpat. In other words, you're going to tell me that God is just going to make a statement and say something against halacha just for the sake, for the honor of Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkan is? Come on, get real. Your God is going to make a statement that's keneged halacha. So it must be that the halacha is really like Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkan is. Otherwise, what, would God say it like that? V'od, kivin shakadosh baruch hu amar shehalacha kamoso, ein lecha hay, ein lo, eich lo haysa halacha kamoso, she'ein sheker yotze mipiv yisparach chas v'shalom. You're telling me, you're trying to intimate here, you're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if the problem is, I just want to save his cover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies occasionally. I mean, you know, he could lie. He's saying it. He doesn't really mean it. He's lying. You know, he's just doing it for his benefit. Are you crazy? You're going to tell me that? In other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya is saying over here, he's calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Gemara says. He says, yeah, we know, but God is just lying for your benefit. So you're telling me he's a liar, and you're telling me that he's going to say that Allah is not. What happens? Does he know that I'm going to say, Eimashgichim Bavasko? Maybe we're all going to say, yeah, you know what? God said it. We're going to do it, and we'll go Keneged Allah. That's preposterous. I mean, that's outrageous. So he says, Ela hakavone huzos. This is what it means. Sheda b'mashe omakan achri rabm lahatos. Ein hakavone shabashvil shehacholkim hayu rabim v'hu yochid. It's not that achri rabm lahatos, in this case, his answer was that it's 4-1 against, the 4 votes to my 1 vote. Hoysa halacha kamosam. Ella shehatanu zeh hoyu beemes tohor b'yenei kirabi Eliezer. That they all agreed that what Rabbi Eliezer said, the ovens achnai, they all agreed with him that the ovens that he said were kosher, that were tohor, they were kosher. And there was no argument about those ovens. Amazing, right? However, ach ma shehoyu mitamim hoya mishum di ulai basa chulios. What? The Azle Basar Chulios the Alma, Moshe Kosov Rashi. He says the thing was, this oven was a very wonderful oven, and everybody liked it. It was the biggest seller of the day, and everybody was going around by. It was so prevalent among the people, and it was so common to everybody that all the people were, so many people were buying it. It was a good oven. And it was tar, according to like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkan. It said, there's a problem though. The Mishum, Tanurim, the Alma, but the average oven, most of the oven, the brand names that were out there on the market were not made exactly like this, and therefore were Tameh. The Chachamim, like a lot of times we see today, were concerned that if everybody is going to buy a similar oven that is in fact Tameh, they're going to think, and the other one is Tar, they're going to make the mistake and think it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you have on Shabbos, and you talk about that it's, you know, you could put lach, you can't put lach on the stove to warm it up on Shabbos. You could put, if it's a Dovah Yavesh, you could warm it up. And I had a big fight many years ago in the bungalow colony. I said, you know, they said, oh, we hear, you know, that you could do it. So I said, yeah, absolutely, you're right, the Dovah Yavesh. But I know what's going to happen. We're going to make a kiddush, and somebody is going to put something on the blech that wasn't there Friday night. And Baruch Hashem, God was with me. I walked into my bungalow, and I came in after davening, and I look on the blech, and I see a pot of halupchis with all the juice in it.
Oh, that's bad.
And I wasn't my wife. Somebody came in because we were making the kid. You know, people were adding around. It was my oven they were using. And I said, I told you. I told you beforehand. So I said, nothing goes on the oven. I told you beforehand, nothing is going on the oven. Because you're getting stupid. You're thinking the halupchis. I said, what about the juice? There's a quart of liquid in that pot. And you're heating it up. So, I mean, we had in my shul, my brother-in-law came when I made a bar mitzvah one time. He was so impressed that the guy that wasn't like this, he came and he looked and he went to see Friday night that everything that was being cooked, when he saw the next day, and the guy in the kitchen showed him that all, he poured off all the juice, drained off all the halupchis, put the juice, left it on the blech the whole night, and the halupchis was dry as a bone. And Shabbos after, on Shabbos, when he got ready to serve the halupchis, he took the juice off and poured it like this. I mean, he was, everything that was explained to him, the way he has to conduct himself, he did. But the truth is, people left to their own devices make a lot of mistakes. And therefore, the Chachamim have to go ahead and make gezeiros, make takanos, because they see in their town people are just making mistakes. And that's what our lives is full of, all these gezeiros, because the truth of the matter is, we fall into these traps on a daily basis. So now, Shehem Rabim Gozru Af Al Tanur Zem Ibnei Hehomon She'en Yodim Hachiluk Sheyesh bein tanur zeh l'tanur macherim kimo shechilik Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Eliezer l'fichach hiskimu v'gozru gam al oso tanur. Very interesting thought. He says, I understand that your oven is kosher, but akri rabim lahatos, we have to go according to most of the ovens at Tomei. And therefore, achri rabim lahatos, what does it leave us? We can't just say yours are tohor and yours are tameh. You know what we have to do? To prove a point and make a show of force over here, we have to go around and smash everybody's oven to show we mean business. And that's what it is. So achri rabim, we have to take a look. All the ovens, most of the ovens that are out there, there's 20 brand names, and they're all tameh. You have a tanu shel achnai, it's tar. But people are going to make mistakes. This is tar, that's tar, this tar. But it's not. and people are not going to pay attention, and they're not going to know what they're doing. So it's. I thought this was Shigamai, that's what I just explained the next line, but that's the end of this basically over there. I thought it was a very good thing that I just noticed it in the last week. But after that, so what is a bas kol? If we have these arguments, because the Gemara is left with a bas kol, and it says, b'chol yom v'yom, bas kol yotzos v'yomros, bas kol yotzos here, bas kol in the ploni, and then we have the whole Gemara in the Gemara there that says, what was the whole thought process over there? I only mentioned this because it's been in Ogeya to the Siyam at the last piece of Gemara, that when it says bas ploni to ploni, what is the issue of the bas kol in that Gemara over there? It's Shema'imar b'simcha b'simcha. And the Gemara asks the question, there's a mission over there, it says, are you allowed to get engaged? If Eimar b'simcha b'simcha, you can't put one simcha on top of another, you're busy celebrating Yontif, you can't heap another simcha on top of that. So it says, are you allowed to get married on Yontif? And obviously, Eimar b'simcha b'simcha, you wouldn't be allowed to get married on Yontif because there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, it's a pasuk in the Torah, v'samachta b'chagecha. Are you allowed to get married? Therefore, not. However, what about getting engaged? So the Gemara says, getting engaged, basically, you shouldn't be allowed. But there's a problem, Shema Yikadmenu Acha. Maybe somebody else, if you don't ask her right now to marry you, lock her up, so to speak, for yourself, somebody's going to beat you to the punch and come in. You'll find out you waited 2 days, and somebody goes ahead, and I find out that my father-in-law proposed to my mother-in-law on Yom Kippur. So it's very, right? That's what they that's the story they tell, that they got engaged. Yeah, but they did. He actually did.
That's called
Ois Chappen de Metzia. So there's another, the Gemara says also something else. The Gemara says also the reason you have it's you know, so what is the Gemara answer that it says, what's the difference? Bechol yom v'yom, bas kol yotzos v'yomer omeres, bas ploni l'ploni. If God said, if there's a bas kol that says that somebody is going to marry, this person is going to marry this person, it's a done deal from the day that from conception on, that this person is destined to marry this person. So what do you mean, Shemi Yikad Menu Acher? So the Gemara answers, making it quick, is Kan Bezivik Rishon, Kan Bezivik Sheni. By the first marriage, that's b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzos v'yom meres. But by Zivik Sheni, you're on your own. At the second wedding, that's up to you. If you pick out a wife the second time, but also what the Gemara says over there is an unfortunate thing, is something to really bear in mind, is if somebody used, I forgot the exact word that he uses over there, you want to marry, and actually, I know somebody like that I remember it happened, and it brought it home. You hear, sometimes you experience something. Somebody was dating a girl and wanted to marry her. However, the problem became somebody else beat him to the punch. But he never gave up hope of marrying this girl. So what is he doing in this tefillah? He's praying somehow that this couple, every day, maybe they should get divorced or worse. You know? I hope, the Gemara says it basically, I'm praying every day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this person should die and she'll be an almana and now I'll be able to marry her. This happened over here in Flatbush, I remember years ago, when I remember we were coming out of a restaurant and this was going in, and this woman was going in with another man that me and my wife, we froze, you know, and I didn't get it right away, but my wife knew that going back to Brooklyn College days, they were an item, and she ended up marrying a different person, and he would carry the torch for 10 years, until the other person, until they got the marriage didn't last, got divorced. So the person, the Gemara is saying, maybe there's another person out there who's a bigger tzaddik than you are, and he's going to pray to God that your marriage should be go on the rocks and get a divorce, or maybe you'll pray to Hashem and you'll get a divorce. But that's the problem. But what is a bas kol mean? So years ago, a friend of mine came back from Israel and he gave me a sefer over here from Nesiva Shalom. It's the Aslanim sefer. And it happened to be that week he came back from Eretz Yisrael, it was Parshas Gisa. So I opened up and I was reading the Parshas Gisa. And it's always stayed with me when I read it, and it goes to the Maaseh Egel. And in the Maaseh Egel, it asks a very, very simple thing over there. He brings down over there the Bas Kol that we mentioned before, that Shubavanim Shovim Chutz Meyacher. When Elisha ben Avuya, after he had all his problems and they put him in Cherem and they said, you know, and Reb Meir was trying to beg him to do tshuva, he was walking with him, Shabbos he was riding a horse, or a donkey, whatever it was, and he told him, you know, he got to the point where they reached the point where they were going to go outside the Tchum. He said, you know, Reb Meir, you better not go anymore because you're going to go outside the Chum. And so Reb Meir understood this and he said, well, you shouldn't either. You know, maybe you should get off. But he didn't, and he just, whatever it is. But that was the point. Reb Meir was trying to impress the Chachamim, impress upon the Chachamim, that he only listened. He didn't get his head turned around. Too many times, a lot of us, if we read too many things, we hear too many things, we don't realize what's going on in our own mind. We incorporate, we process information, and forget how to, you know, spit out the stuff. Somebody tells you something, you could have a little bit of truth in it. The problem becomes that maybe it's not really there. So he says over here, tell me something. It says, "B'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzos v'yom eres bas kol." I mean, excuse me. Shubavanim shov mechutz miyachah. What's the point of that? It says the Bnei Yisrael just now they built an egel. How did they fall to such a madrega? These are people who saw Matan Torah. They experienced the Kriyas Yamsuf. Masha Roy Shivchal Hayom is Lo Roy Cheskel Bambuzi. All these things that happened. I mean, they reached such a high level of Kedusha that, and now all of a sudden they just dropped to the depths of, even if you say they didn't build the Egel, that they let the Egel take place in their midst and they didn't do anything about it. How could they let that happen after they saw? I mean, it's not as if, could you imagine in your own mind today, if all of us sitting here today experience God firsthand? I mean, we read about it, we think about it, but if we really got up tomorrow and God was talking to us, we heard His voice, what would our spiritual level be? An outrageous thought process. How could you do anything, you know, how could you do anything wrong? You would be afraid. You would be just out of respect. You would know. You experience it. I mean, the people, the biggest agnostic would start to say, there is a God. Has to be a God. I mean, He spoke to me. I saw the throne of glory. And I know He's there. So how did they fall to that depth? And how did Elisha ben Avuya fall? He was such an Ishtar, Tam V'Yashar, growing up to be. He was the greatest. That's why the Rabbi, you know, Beryl Wine mentions that in Pirkei Avos, that's why they felt they had to at least say something, B'Shem Elisha ben Avuya, in Pirkei Avos, because he was such an unbelievable Ish Kadosh V'Tar. And he became the person we call Acha. He became just an unbeliever. The Gemara says because he thought Shtei Rishios when he saw Metatron, when he was Arba Nichten Sulapardes, but he gives, there are other reasons there also that he saw Chananya ben Chargon being tortured, Chutzvitz HaMeturgim being tortured, and that like he couldn't believe Zed Torah v'Zed Schoro, and he just, it like turned him around. A lot of people, because he likens it to a lot of people that went through the Holocaust, things that they saw just they couldn't handle it. In other words, they were so tar, because the trouble is, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. That you reach such a level, you have such emunah, such bitachon, that when you see something that goes against what you're thinking, what happens when you get to years, you believe so strongly that Mashiach is coming by the year 6000, then it doesn't happen. What happens? You're devastated. And a lot of people just, they get their heads turned. This is what happened to Elisha ben Avuya. He says, but how does that happen? He says, makes an interesting thing over here. He says, we say, Bechol yom v'yom baskol yosos v'yom meres. I don't understand. You hear the baskol? Anybody here ever hear a baskol? Anybody could say in the last 1,000 years that they heard a baskol? And it says, Bechol yom v'yom baskol yosos v'yom meres. I didn't hear it. I don't know. He says, you hear it? I don't hear it. Who hears it? Probably nobody. He said, therefore, we have the wrong impression of what a bas kol is. A bas kol is very simple, he says. When Elisha ben Avuya was born, and he reached this high madrega, God is looking for people like the Marines, like a few people, a few good men. What happens here? He sees a person that he feels he reaches a level of Kedusha. Klal Yisrael reached a level where they experience God. These are the people, they will never go wrong. They can't go wrong. It's the other people who believe, don't believe, that some days they feel this way, there is a God, there isn't a God, or how much they believe in it. 608 mitzvahs are good, there's five of them I can't tolerate. I don't feel, it just doesn't make sense to me, and I don't feel like doing it. I can't handle it. It can't be right. So, of course, he's an apikoros. It's all or nothing. But if you experience God firsthand, so how does God put us to the point to give us that level of feeling? He says that's what we have a guilty conscience for. It's God speaking to us. We have a voice in our heads, and that's why some of the Lashon in the Gemara, he says, is a different thought process. You want to do something? Who heard all these bas kols? Ein mashgichem b'bas kol means maybe. That, I don't know, you heard the bas kol, maybe you did, maybe somebody, you were standing there and you had an epiphany, you had a voice went off in your head and said, don't do that, don't do it, I'm telling you not to do it, it's wrong. That's what he says, that's what your bas kol is, that's your bas kol. B'chol yom v'yom, everybody reaches that point where there's somebody telling you all the time, you always have these thoughts, I want to do something, you have a taiva, and somebody, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's just a voice in your head saying, don't do it. That's the bas kol in your mind talking to you. Klal Yisrael reached such a level of Kedusha, when they saw, God said, these people saw me, they heard me, they heard my voice, they know I exist, they know what I'm telling them. They understand it. You know what? I don't like the whole idea of I have to give people this guilty conscience because that's what's keep people on the straight and narrow. But it's nice if I could know that I have certain people I can trust. And I could turn the switch off. And I turned the switch off, so God turned the switch off on Klal Yisrael. And he left them to their own devices because they reached such a level they don't need the guilty conscience anymore. And they were nichshol, and they fell by the wayside. Elisha ben Avuya was such a ish kadosh, reached such a point. He had such a level that he was nichnasu lepar, one of the out-of-body experiences, however you would touch up our nichnasu lepar days, and he was able to do all these things in his life that he did. He was the leader of this great generation of Tanayim, and he was the holiest of all of them. I could trust him. He's certainly never going to make a misstep. I know what's going on in his mind. He understands me. He knows. He'll never take a misstep. Turn off the switch. Yeah.
You say that the Rebbeinu Shalom miscalculated?
You're going to always say that. I mean, every time. So it says, Kini chamti ki asisim. I mean, you're going to say by the marble that God said, Kini chamti ki asisim. What does that mean? I mean, I have to destroy the world now. I planned for other things. I didn't plan on other Marishal making the chait. In fact, that's one of the things that it says after Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael reached the Madrega that Mavis was wiped out. And in other words, it was going to be back to the original from when creation was going to return to creation level, like when Adam Arishon was created. There was not going to be death anymore. That's what some of the Mefarshim say. And then all of a sudden, there was the Egel, and we were back to square one. So, I mean, you can't. I understand what you're saying. That's always, you know, can God make a rock that he can't lift? You know, that's the old question. Can God do something that he can't do? You know, we thought he could do everything. So it doesn't work. I mean, it's an unanswerable question. But nevertheless, so what is the bas kol? So that's what so he says that's where we go wrong. So that's why I wanted to say also the machlokas and Rav and Shmuel over there when he adds the word sada, it's not just that he adds the word sada to it, and by plus ploni laploni. Of course, Rav says, b'chol yom v'yom. Shmuel leaves out b'chol yom v'yom. He says, baskol, when the Yetziris Havlad, a baskol goes out. It's a one-shot deal. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. But that's what I'm looking in the change of Lashon. It's a one-shot deal. It happened. Who heard it? We don't know. So therefore, if we don't know who heard it, ein mashgichim b'baskol, and that's what we have to live by. Ein mashgichim b'baskol. I don't know who heard it and who didn't hear it. And so, I mean, this is a long maisa here with the maisa eagle. Over here, it's like 3 pages. So I gave you a copy to read some of it, not even all of it, because it's tremendous. So now with all of this in mind, I go back to, now we're ready to make the, to read the last piece of the Gemara. The first time I learned this Gemara, I remember it was with Rabbi Tendler in high school there, and we got to this blot, and it was like, he was, I guess, cracking jokes sort of during the whole thing. So I'm not going to go from the Mishnah, but, you know, Rav Moshe said when you make a seema, that was for the point of the 9 days. In reality, in the 9 days, we want to, you know, because we're eating flesh when we shouldn't be under normal circumstances. So he said you had to learn from the last Mishnah, which would be a big problem, as I say, if you're doing Sanhedrin and you're doing it from Chelek and you have to do 15 blot to make the seema, wouldn't work out. But here I'm just going to read the Mishnah so we have a background. And it says, what are the grounds for divorce? Bei Shammai Omrim, lo yigarish adam es ishto, ela im kei motzabar v'stavar. It says, ki motzabar v'stavar, you give your wife a chosav lo sefer krisos, v'nosam b'yodah. No, that you can open your Gemara. I'm sorry. I prepared some Gemaras over there that I know we have, must have a ton in the back there. But Bei Shammai Omrim lo yigarish adam es ishto, ela im kei motzabar v'stavar, shenema ki motzabar v'stavar. Uves hilal omrim, afilu igdich lo tafshilo. She burns your food. What's tied? She burns your food. So I remember the Rebbe saying, no. She, it's not that she burned your food. She says, you know, I made a couple of steaks. Baruch Hashem, mine is okay. Yours burned. It's a shame. Yeah, yours is just, that was it. He said, that's pshat. I just Rabbi Tendler said, he says, that's pshat in Higdicho Tavshil. Higdicho Tavshilo. Your portion burned. So now, kimotzba ervazdava, so basil omri hibichotav shilo shenema, kimotzba ervazdava. Kimotzba ervazdava. So what he's saying is what the Mefarshim are telling us over here, that there's a difference of opinion in how the phrasing of the word is. There's two parts to the kimotzba ervazdava. One is ervazdava. You know, obviously that's why Beis Shammai says, kimotzba ervazdava. You find it's an erva. The woman does something that she's not allowed to do. She's being seen with somebody. She's doing things. She's becomes a saita, whatever it is. You know, she's going around not dressed properly. She's doing things that a Jewish, a Yiddish fro shouldn't do. So that's motz ervazdava. But there's two parts to the pasuk, because some of Farshim say ervazdava, you could just say kimotzba erva. When it says davar, it means he's saying it's erva. Yeah, that's grounds for divorce. Davar, anything you don't like about it. One of them could be higdicha tavshilo. So now is shenema kimotzba ervazdava. Rabbi Kiva Oimer afilu motza acheres noemena. You know, you're walking along in the street, you see somebody, you say, you know, I like her better. She's, you know, I take a fan. I mean, in other words, these are not things that we're going to see at the end of the Gemara. We're not trying to promulgate this thought process among the people. We're not looking and hoping that this is what goes on. Shenemar is v'hoya imlo simtzochein b'einav. The pasuk says v'hoya imlo simtzochein b'einav because of lo sefer krisos v'nosam b'yada. If she doesn't find, you know, you get up in the morning, you say, you know what, I've had enough. I don't want her anymore. So now, with that in mind, we with the difference in the way the pasuk. So we'll read the last, I guess, from the bottom of Tzadik Amar Aleph till the end. because it was funny what he said. The Gemara gets into just to discuss how what is all of this about Motzah B'Erev's Dover, what it all comes down to. So the Gemara brings a tzushtel to different types of people in the world. Because not everybody has the same standards as everybody else. Sometimes what you like about a woman, maybe I don't mind, and maybe what I don't like about a woman, you don't mind. It's you're looking, everybody, there are no two minds alike, and we could all have different things that make us be attracted to a particular person. So now, Kishem Shadeos Kishem Shamacha Hadeos Bemachal Kach Deos Benoshim Yesh Lecha Adam. He says there are types of people shall zvuv no fail to koso uzorko the anus shall say. There are types of people. He translated when he said you're going to have a bowl of cereal and you got something a fly it's in a drink and the fly got in the drink and you take it. You know, you take out the fly and you throw it out of the way, but, you know, you had a fly in there. Now you can't drink it. It's just too disgusting to you. And there was a fly in your soup, and now you can't handle it anymore, so you toss out the whole bowl. Vizuhi midas papus, Ben Yehuda. I guess this was a person who was a big mefenik. He was Isthanus. Shahaya Noel bifnei ishto viyotzi, and he would, every time he walked out of the house, this is what he used to do. He was afraid that his wife would have a conversation or any kind of religion, afraid his wife would have any kind of relationship with somebody else. He locked her up in the house. When he walked out of the house, he locked her in there, violating all fire codes, but he locked her in the house. She couldn't get out. He was afraid that his wife would go out of the house. Who knows what will happen? Wants her to be, you know, pristine. V'yotze. V'yesh lecha adam shezvuv nofel l'toch koso. The fly gets into whatever he's drinking. Vizarko, and he throws out the fly. Vishoseyu, and he drinks it. You know, he's got rid of the fly, and now the food is there left for him to eat or drink, and he does it. Zui midas koladim. This is the average person. Shemidaberes, imochio, krover. You have a family get-together. Doesn't bother you. Your wife is talking to her brother, to her cousins, to her uncles. It doesn't bother you. It's on the normal circumstance that your wife is just having conversations. You don't feel threatened by her actions under those circumstances. Umanicha. V'yesh lecha adam, and then you have the third type of person, shezvuv nofel letoch hatamchui, and, you know, the fly gets into your food. Motzitzo v'yochlo, he says, you know, you pick up the fly and you see he's got cereal on it. And he says, well, I'm not going to waste any cereal. I'm going to lick off the fly. He's got a few grains of cereal on the fly, so I'm going to suck off the cereal from the fly. I don't want to be cheated out of anything. And then he continues to eat the cereal too, but he even licks off the cereal from the fly. So the Mefarshim say that's not a very good way to look at it, because you're making it sound like he's going to swallow the fly and then he's going to eat non-kosher food, so to speak. So it means that it dripped off, what dripped off from the fly back into the bowl, you don't care, and you eat the bowl of food. So anyhow, no fella talk. Tamchui motzitzo v'yochlo. Zuhi midas adam ra. This is a very bad trait in a person. Why? Because this type of a person is, what is that synonymous, what is that being misamel to? Sheroa es adam sheyara. Sheroa es ishto v'yotzo ishab perua. Vitova Bishuk, or, you know, you have a wife who, unfortunately, I mean, it's unfortunate statement in society. They were so overwrought by the fact that, imagine what would be obvious grounds for immediate divorce, and that you have to. I mean, nobody would stay with a woman who didn't cover her hair. God forbid. I mean, that if you went out, your wife would not have her hair covered, you would immediately divorce her. And according to Chacham here, that you have to. It's an obligation. If your wife walks out without a hair covered, you have to. Ufruma mishnei tzedodeh, and she's wearing a slit on the clothing. In other words, her arms are exposed. It's talking about her arms, it says over here. But her arms are exposed. She's not covering her arms, or she has long sleeves, but they're slit, so it flaps in the wind, perhaps. Mishnei tzedodeh. This is something that very few people actually do nowadays, even among some of the frum. It mentions over here, because I remember him talking about it in yeshiva that time. V'rochetzetz im b'nei yodam. So it says that she goes swimming with with men. So it says, "Biroch im b'nei adam salkadak." You mean, is that what you mean to say? It can't be. That's what you mean. That's like absolutely outrageous, beyond the realm of reality. Ella b'makom shebnei adam. What is called going separate swimming? I remember him telling us that, according to Beis Shammai. What is called going separate swimming? You have one pool and you have men's hours and women's hours. That's not separate swimming, I'm sorry. Because separate swimming means you have one pool for the women and one pool for the men. Because if you're swimming in a pool where you think maybe you have machshavas, there was a woman in the pool an hour ago and you start to have thoughts. That's why what I mentioned to you about the, you had the sefer over there that says, unfortunately, on the parochis over there, you're not allowed to have a woman's name. You say, Lezecha Nishmas, all these people, donated by Mr. and Mrs., no good. Foul. You can't put the woman's name on the parochis. You can't put her on a mental, on a sefer Torah, Chatz v'Sholom. You put, we don't paskin like that. We know that. But it was a das yachid like that. So here it is, separate swimming means two separate places that you swim. Not in the same pool, two separate pools. That's called separate swimming. So, Elabamokon Shemenei Adam Rochas in Zoom Mitzvah Minat Torah Lagarsha. It's a flat out mitzvah. When a woman does that, you gotta get rid of her. That's it. It's a mitzvah. Shenema Kimotzaba Erves Dover. Vishilcha Mi Beso Vaholcha Liyesh. I know, it's a problem, right? I mean, I'm telling you, so this is where the mindset was. Vaholcha Vahaisa Liyesh Achem. So the operative word here, every pasuk when you quote it has an operative word in it, and here the word, operative word is acher. Hakosiv karo acher. The pasuk calls this man acher. Loma she'ein ze ben zugo l'rishon ze hotzi risha mi beso v'ze hechnis risha l'beso. In other words, what did you just do? This man divorced her because he was matzibah. It says ki matzibah eres davar. This man divorced her because he found Motzuba Erves Dava. And what did you do? You went and married her? What do you expect to happen with her? She was a loose woman. So now you're marrying a loose woman. Where's your head? Where's your seichel? So you're marrying this woman that somebody else divorced? Think about it. So, I mean, it's just the thought always occurred to me is somebody came over to me one time in business and said he bought a spice business from somebody. Spices, that doesn't matter, but he bought a company and it's not doing well. And he's having problems. Maybe I could tell him what's wrong with the business, or maybe I see something that they're doing wrong. I said, let me ask you a question. The person you bought the business from, he went out of business, so you bought the business. So who did you put in charge of the business to run the business? You didn't know much about the spice business, so you wanted to get somebody to run the business for you. So who did you hire to run the business for you? The guy that went out of business. So what was the seichel there? Doesn't mean he's not a good person, whatever. Maybe he doesn't have mazel. Maybe whatever it is, it's not there. But that's who you got to run your business for you. So somebody divorced this woman because there was a scandal of sorts in the community, and now you're taking her into your house. Doesn't work. Zu zehotzi risho mi beso, zeh hechnis risho l'tok beso. Izacha sheni shilcha. In other words, the second one should divorce her. If he's doing the right thing, he will get rid of her too. Shenema oki amuso ish acharon. And you know what? You know what he says? Oki amuso ish acharon. Because if you don't divorce her, I hear him talking. That's why I say, because I remember learning this piece of Gemara, Rabbi Tendler. He said, she will be the death of you. Because, oki yomuso ish acharon, you're number two, she's going to kill you. You think this is a joke? He says it's not a joke. He said, if this one divorced with it, so what do you think you're taking into your house? This woman, do you know, did she do tshuva? I mean, you're going to tell me she did tshuva. But if you marry this person who had a scandal and now you took her into your house, that's, you were the prosecutor, that's who God was talking about when it says, Oki Omoso Isha Acharon. Because you're going to be the last man, she's going to kill you. So, Kedai Hu B'misa Shezeh hotzi risha mi beso, v'zeh hechnis rosha l'tok beso, risha l'tok beso. Ki sonei shalayach. When you see, if you hate her, in other words, she does something hateful, you got to send her out. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im sonei shalayach. If you hate her, get rid of other. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Sonoi Hamashaleach, Velo Pligi. In other words, it's not. So what about the first person also? Velo Pligi, it's not a machlokis. Ha Bezivig Rishon, Ha Bezivig Sheni. One case is talking about by the first marriage, and one is talking about by the second marriage. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Kol HaMagarish Ishto Rishona. It says somebody who gets rid of the first wife. In other words, I understand that. But the first wife, if Zivig Rishon, so then okay. So Kol HaMagarish Ishto Rishona Afilu Mizbeach Morid Alav the most. The Mizbeach cries. Interesting terminology here. Shenema Vizos Shenis Tasu Ksus Dima. In other words, we know Kosher Zivug Nishe Yisrael Kukriyas Yamsuf. And so it's God is crying. It's a mizbeach Hashem bechi ve'neka me'ayin od pinos el mizbeach el mincha v'lo kachto ritzon miyetchem v'amartem al me'ah ki Hashem ki ani Hashem. He's trying to justify the fact that he's telling you to get rid of him. Why? I mean, it's a terrible thing, a divorce, that even though sometimes you're being forced to divorce your wife, God is crying. The thought process that occurred to me over here when it says, why is the Mizbeach crying? Because we said, b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzos, it's not so much that people are getting a divorce and it's a shanda or getting a divorce, whatever it is. But if you go back to that bas kol that says, b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzos v'yomeris ploni l'ploni in koshes v'vugn kol Yisrael k'kriyas yamsu, God worked so hard to match up these two people. And now you're chucking it all. And in flying in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made this match by the first marriage, it's something to cry about. Because it came mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God made that match for you. The second wife, well, that was your choice. I'm not crying about a second marriage. You did it, that was you made your own bed, you have to lie in it, you did it. But the first marriage, it was my doing. And now, so it says, Mizbeach Yorid Demos. It's not that the people got divorced, it's because the match came from me. So I personally cried tears. I worked so hard and it didn't work out. That's what I'm adding here on my own. So, Ki Hashem Heyid Beiniyu Bein Eishis Nurecha Asher Ata Bogadeta Ba Vihi Chaverta Vi Eishis Brisecha. Hadron Allah HaMagarish Yislik Allah Mesech Desgitten. Hadron Allah Hamagarish Slikaloch Mesechus Gitten. Hadron Allah Hamagarish Slikaloch Mesechus Gitten. And maybe the next time I learn it, I'll think of, I'll correct myself. My father and I had many differences of discussions. Every year we would have arguments on the same sukkim in the Chumash, and we would come up with new ideas on the same sukkim. We'd have fights. So what do you think this year, you know? And we would have differences of opinion. And as I get older, I come more around to his way of thinking, because when I was 30, I thought one way. When I was 40, I was beginning to, you know, weaken. And when I'm 60 already or more, you know, you start to realize that he wasn't so stupid. You know, you get to the point where you realize the way he saw a pasuk in the Torah, he lived more life's experience. What I wanted to say as well is not only did he live, so this is for my mother, not for my father. So while my father was the one who always learned with me, it was my mother who I always remembered hearing when I wanted to run down and play or wanted to run down. And my mother would say, you'd learn with your son. You'd learn with him. Don't let him go out. Learn, learn, learn. And my father was fighting. He was a Rebbe all his weekend. He was sitting preparing his own plat tomorrow for Shia. And I wasn't learning what he was learning. And he would say, learn with him, learn with him. And he forced me. He would say, Shmuel, come here. So we sit down for an hour and a half, and we would learn. And so even to this day, I told you a couple of things, and there was even things that really got me to the point where even as I got older already, I still remember, but this is before I got married at least, because she saw, my mother was very rough on me in terms of what she perceived as the way to live your life as a from Jew. So I mentioned to Rabbi Levine a few weeks ago that I said one time that I was laughing, because it was not more than 10 years ago, when my mother was following me around the house when she was in my house for Shabbos, and when I walked out of the bathroom, literally, And she was walking behind me. And then finally, I said, what? I turned around. All of a sudden, I said, what are you doing over there? She said, I just wanted to see if you said Ashi Yatzah. So I said, but it was more than that. Because before that, when I was still single, and at one point in time, I was, you know, my friends were changing a little bit, and I was becoming a little more cool and whatever the situation was. And she said to me all of a sudden one day, she says, listen, I understand. I mean, I see that you're doing this or you're doing this, and I don't have any problem with it, but I just want to know. Just tell me, because it's not fair, because we have people come to the house, we invite company over. Should I cover the wine? I still remember. That was before everybody had Yayin Mevushel and the thing over there. But the point was, I just want to know if I have to cover the wine. You know, she said, you know what I mean, when the cleaning lady comes. She put a sheet over the, you know, we had the wine, the crystal wine bottle, and it was in there by the lechta, and she put a sheet over the thing there, so the cleaning lady didn't see the wine. She says, I just want to know if when you come home, if I have to keep the wine covered. That's all. I just want to know. I mean, whatever you want to do. So, I mean, this was her mindset. This to me was, this was my baskol. And this was my baskol. This is the switch in my head all the time saying, you know, you want to do something, you could do it. If, you know, if you really want to do it, go ahead. And I would have let you do it if I thought you really wanted to do it. But I know that you don't really want to do it. What brought something to mind was you mentioned last week about, we know that a get can be given forcibly, but a woman, you can't marry her without her ratzon. So what I remember learning, we were sitting in Beis Medrash, we had a guest lecturer from Eretz Yisrael, but he gave us a lecture on a Chassan Sofer. It was a Chassan Sofer, but that says that the reality is, of course, I came to yeshiva that time, and I asked him, and he gave a shir about it. I was at a Hasidish wedding from the family, and I'm in Williamsburg, and I didn't particularly notice, but my mother said after the chuppah, did you notice the kala's feet when she was marching down the aisle? Her toes were scraping the ground. Her feet were not on the floor. They were dragging her down. My mother was explaining what happened in the room there before she marched down. She didn't want any part of it. She wanted to back out. And they dragged her down the aisle and she got married. So I asked him, I said, you know, Chagamayt, we were learning Ksuvus at the time, and I said, so a woman can't get married. He says, there's a Chassan Sofer that says, just like what happens, what is the halacha that you do, somebody is doing an Aveira, and he says, Kofano so ashiomaro, you, the man doesn't want to give a divorce, he says, Kofano so ashiomaro tzani, and this is, I still remember Rabbi Tendler saying, you know, we put him in a kippah, and you don't feed him for a couple of days, and then you, whatever it is, and you say, oh, ooh, he died. You know, he died. His stomach expanded. You gave him a little barley on an empty stomach and whatever it is. And then you gave him water to drink and his stomach exploded. Oh, but you didn't do anything. You didn't kill him with your own hands. So, Kofano Soas Yomar Rotsani. What is the person got forced to do it when you, he said you beat the Yetzer Hara out of him. That's the way he gave Taich. You beat the Yetzer Hara. A Kala, the best thing for a woman, this is the Chassan Sofer, a woman wants to get married. It's a mitzvah to get married. She wants to get married. So even though you're doing what she doesn't want to get now, she's not of sound mind and body. Because when you do an Aveira, every time you do an Aveira, you're not of sound mind and body. If you were of sound mind and body, you would never do an Aveira. So obviously it is some mishigas entered your head, and that's why you did the Aveira. This is Chassan Sofer. So now the fact that she's changing her mind, doesn't want to get married, you could drag her down the aisle with her feet scraping the ground, and you could force her to get married because she really wants to get married. That's her innermost mind, is she wants, that's why she's there. She wanted to get married. She had cold feet at the moment or whatever happened at that time. Let her get married. Let it work itself out. And that that's the way he passed. And I guess he had some situations there. But anyhow. So, Hadron Allah, Mesech is Gittin, Hadron Allah, Daitan Allah, Mesech is Gittin, Vedaitan Allah, Lone, Nisnach Minoch, Mesech is Gittin, Lone, Nisnach Minon, Lo Bealmo, Dame, Lo Bealmo, Diossi. You wrote some of an egg on the Hindu, Lay, Sandu, Shadeto, Roskum, Mosecha, Boyle Mazev, Dei, Mani, Lo, the Mabo, Hanina Bar Papa, Romy Bar Papa, Nachman Bar Papa, Achai Bar Papa, Abba Mori Bar Papa, Rafam Bar Papa, Rochash Bar Papa, Sukha Bar Papa, Adabar Pop, Badaru Bar Pop, Baharev Nodon Oilane, Mr. Razor also Bafino Fios, Am Kobes Yovni, Anak the Colonu, Anak the Vetsuain of Tetsuay, Am Kobes Rok, Colonio, De Shmechum Lomlis, or Sagalishma. May I invite Hakmenim, it's Osechaki, Lyolam, he leave, he leave, summon Behukecho, Laman Loevos, Lyolam Loeshkach, Bekutecho, Kivom Kisani, Rokator Noilam, Denu Hukecho. Amen, amen, celebrate. Modim anachnu lefanecha nolay lehinu v'lay v'tenu shesamto chalkenim yoshvei beis hamidrash lo samto chalkenim yoshvei koronos shonu mashkim v'heim mashkim manu mashkim l'divrei Torah v'heim mashkim l'dvorim b'teilim anu amelim v'heim amelim anu amelim mekabel nesocha v'heim amelim yeinu mekabel nesocha anu rotzim v'heim rotzim anu rotzim l'chayolam abo v'heim rotzim l'ver shochas shenu av ayato alehim toritem l'ver shochas anshei domim mimra lo yechzu yemeim v'ani yeftach bo hirotzom v'necha nolay lehai kishem shezartani l'chayolam the same is set this getting can it as rain the hot skill set this is swarm a fair the same up lumo rulame lishma velasus the time is called the race on the tour set the biava who scores call at the name of marine some ide for come yamably zari shlo somish hatar mi pi u mi pi zari zera zari ado lom is kai and be bis alekha tanka osaf and shall cut his more alekha but it's also he says the hekha he be you for your mech of your sifu of kashno saim or kam you mean off the small osha the cover on the ozi and maintain a noi bird is the mova shalom he is garab is garach mayor of the omo he is also lach is chado lach yo and matzio lasko and yasom with hay omo of midna karka the yerushalayim and shachlola heikla the gabe lemeka puchanan the chro minara Ula asava pulchona dishmaeli asa viamle kucha bricho b'malchusei vikore. B'chai yichonu miyachon chavol beisua b'adol zantori yivin ruo mei. Zahif me'adol yorak nirom b'leo mayo. Yisbarak 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 Yelon comes number a clean clean of his rapper Kaimari Kunz on RBK, who become the Panama Bunny Shmai of Yarrow in Rome, A. Samarabi Mishmai, Kaim Tomalay, Lako Israel in Rome, Jose Shalom Ramov, Yasa Shalomalay, Lako Israel in Rome. I have food, I should have put it out already. We didn't have to wait, I brought a flat of this. So, everybody's welcome to be here.
I know that.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. I mean, here I have an immortal bag. Yeah, should put it out there. Anybody opening here?